We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Here's a classic episode of the 206 Geek Podcast from back in, I think, 2015, where I was able to get voice actor John Bailey, epic voice guy, on the podcast. And we kind of nerded out on a bunch of different things, and at one point he even did his Peter Cullen Optimus Prime voice for me, which I immediately turned into an 8-year-old boy going, that is so cool. So I figured I would post this on here so you guys can check it out and enjoy.
Hey everyone, this is Todd from 206 Geek. Just doing a quick little intro. I got the chance to talk to John Bailey yesterday. You may not recognize the name, but you'll definitely recognize the voice. He is the voiceover guy for Honest Trailers, and an amazing talent and super nice guy. I talked to him for about an hour yesterday, and he even did a little listen to 206 Geek as Optimus Prime, which, as a Transformer nerd myself, that was cool. Let's just leave it at that. It was cool, and it was really cool talking to the guy. I'm hoping we get to talk to him again with me and Joe, and it sounds like he's willing to come back on the podcast. So, this is just a supplemental interview, I guess you could say. You know, this is not part of an actual episode. So, enjoy, and if you have any questions or comments, please go ahead and leave them I guess you would call this a track, I guess, you know, because I'm posting it on SoundCloud. And leave a comment, and if you have any questions for John, next time we talk to him, we will grab your comments and ask him those comments, or those questions, rather. Anyways, again, it was awesome talking to John. Really nice guy. Really, he was at the beginning. I started recording because we started chatting up right away, and I hadn't hit record yet. And so I went ahead and just kind of hit record once we started talking. He was actually explaining the cost of going to BotCon and how expensive it would have been just to meet Frank Welker, because apparently this is the first year that Frank Welker is doing his first convention ever. So, and if you're not familiar, Frank Welker is the voice of Fred from Scooby-Doo, as well as the current voice of Scooby, and he's also Megatron and Soundwave and from the original series, as well as the newer of the Michael Bay movies. He was Galvatron, he was Soundwave in all of the Bay movies, and on the more recent Transformer cartoons, he was Megatron on Transformers Prime, and at one point John actually does an amazing impression of Peter Cullen, also known as the voice of Optimus Prime. He does Optimus Prime's voice for me, which was awesome, and I thank John a lot for that. That was really cool. Thank you. And anyways, here's the interview that was more or less more of a conversation than an interview, but you know, I try to keep it as casual as possible. And again, John was a really cool guy, and I look forward to talking to him again, hopefully next time with Joe. And here's John Bailey.
You know, he told this long story about how he was told to audition for somebody who had supposedly passed away, and then he got the job and found out that the guy was still alive. And I was like,
oh, oh yeah.
I'm after his job.
You know, I've seen that a few times in interviews where people who or either offered a job that was, you know, somebody else's gig on another job. And I think it happened with Billy West. He was he was offered Slimer on Extreme Ghostbusters, and he didn't know that that Frank Welker was available, and they just didn't ask him. So
yeah, I'm not after his voice. He can think that, but that's not true.
No, no. I mean, and I heard you do it on what was it, the on Rob Paulson's podcast at the beginning of the Transformer one.
Talking Tunes.
Yeah, that was. I was like, that sounds like Peter Cullen. Holy crap! And then they said it was somebody else. I was like, there's no way that could be somebody else.
That's what
that
Rob
sounds...
Paulson thought too.
So yeah, but so you. Now, did you start doing your VO stuff on YouTube, or how did you get started?
I mean, well, I guess you could say that, but it wasn't so much like doing voiceovers. It was like I wanted to dub cartoons and make sketch comedy stuff.
Right on.
You know, on YouTube. But yeah, my wife made me a MySpace page, and it was back when they very first started doing interest-based pop-up advertising, you know. And a local studio popped up, and I was like, oh, I didn't know we had anything like that here. And she's like, oh, you should go try out. I was like, nah. She's like, the worst they can do is say no. I was like, oh. So I tried, and they had me come back and record a demo, and then they signed me that January. Wow. They sent me auditions that February, and 11 days after my first audition, I'd already booked a campaign for a restaurant. It's pretty awesome.
That is amazing, sir. That is really cool.
So
well, I mean, like I said, I've watched a few of your videos, and I was really impressed by the amount of voices you can do. I would say that, you know, you're on the same level as a lot of those guys. I mean, as far as, because you do the epic movie guy voice, which I can't do. I've tried. So, you know,
it's just something that I've always had the ability to do, and I wish I could teach it, but I don't know.
You just have that range is a thing, I think. You know, I don't think I have that range. I don't know if my voice can go that deep.
That's job security for me. You know?
That's awesome. So now have you got to work with any of these people that you've been watching over the years, like I have?
The biggest difference between the kind of work that I do is that I do so many jobs and none of it is with other actors.
Oh, wow. So you've not done one of those where they talk
it's
about
all remote. I mean, I've been in games where there were other voice actors in it. Like my buddy, Sohinky from Smosh Games is actually playing XCOM Enemy Unknown right now. And I'm in that game. So are several other voice actors, including a couple that I'm actually really big fans of. But nice. We don't work in video games. You don't record together. You record separately.
Yeah, yeah, and I from what I gather from watching, like, you know, Talking Tunes, and I think I also watch Chuck Duran's videos, the VO Buzz Weekly, and it sounds like a lot of times anymore you record in your own studio and just send in.
Yeah, most people record remotely. The only way you record with other actors is in a network animated series. Even with anime, they usually record together. Very rarely do they record together.
Wow.
So, I've only been in this 6 years, so professionally at least, so I'm still paying my dues, and I think that I'm firmly believe that I'll be in some network animated series stuff eventually, but well, I need to be in town for it more.
Right, because you're on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm based in Memphis.
Oh, that's right.
Based,
yeah, okay.
I'm based in Los Angeles. I live in Memphis. That's the better way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you're definitely networking because, you know, you're hanging out with Rob Paulson on his podcast and whatnot. And so you haven't worked with any of those guys in person, but you've worked with them on the same projects, right?
Yep.
That's cool.
That's multiple things I worked on that other actors have been like, oh, crap, that's awesome.
Now, I'm trying to think. I remember you were also part of helping out with Rob Paulson's thing for the, like, there was like a Toys for Tots type of thing, weren't you?
I mean, I helped promote it and stuff. I don't know about voice stuff. Usually, if it was, I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
I'm friends with a lot of people that works with him, and his producer, and my agent is actually his like executive producer.
Oh wow.
And so anytime they ask me to do stuff, I've helped out with it. They've had me do something for some other projects that they're involved with, and I honestly haven't seen them, don't know where they are, or they might be out and I wouldn't know anything.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of forget.
So now I being that you're a big Transformers fan, are you able to do things like, or go to, are you going to go to BotCon this year? Are you planning on that?
No, I'm not. I don't plan on it.
Okay.
I know this is Frank Welker's first year, and it would be awesome to meet him in person. But if you've ever been to a BotCon, you know that you spend a lot of money for it. And you get like 1 or 2 seconds, and that's all you get. You're paying a fortune for those couple of seconds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, now I've been to Emerald City Comic Con here in Seattle, and that was not cheap.
You count the cost of a flight. Cost of a flight's going to be between $300 to $500 for some people who want specific flights or whatever. It could be up to $800.
Wow.
Then you have to spend $300 or $400 on the Primus package, which is the toys. And even if you don't want the toys, you have to buy that in order to get the Frank Welker VIP package, which is another $200+. So you're talking a good $700 to $800 right there, plus your flight. And the hotel room's about $130 a night, something to that effect. And yeah, it's a huge freaking expense.
Yeah.
And by the time it's all said and done, you've spent over $2,000 for what counts to $1,000 per second of time with them. I mean, you get a picture with them, and that's literally it. They'll shuttle you in there like cattle, and then they'll shove you back out again.
Yeah.
It's like, take the picture and leave, take the picture and leave, take the picture and leave. And I've done this before with other celebrities, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not spending that much money to meet Frank. And he's with my agency. There's a better chance of me just meeting him in L.A. or working with him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and I'm sure now that he's actually doing conventions, maybe I'll see him at another one. I don't know, but I'm doing a lot of conventions myself. I'm doing one this weekend at Asheville, North Carolina.
All right.
So it's just back to back to back. And then Comic-Con is next month, as well as VidCon. So that's two more that I'm going to next week.
You're a busy dude, John.
Yeah, I say, dude.
So yeah, no, like I said, I've only been to the Comic-Con here in Seattle, and that was that, and living in Seattle and going to the convention was expensive. So yeah, traveling to another state, like you said, that piles up quick. So this year at Emerald City, Michael Bell was there, so I got to meet him. That was cool. And
I've interviewed Michael Bell, but I've never actually got to meet him in person before.
He's a nice guy.
Honestly, if you can go to BotCon, it's a good year for the guests. I'm sure the panels are going to be amazing, but as far as like one-on-one time where people actually get to talk and meet them, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's what it was for Stan Lee. He was at Emerald City this year, and you basically were in and out. Just like that.
Yeah,
and because the line was huge. Seriously, from the time I got there on Friday and from the time, you know, we left on Sunday, the line was still wrapped around the convention center. So it was huge.
And I saw Stan just walking through the Comic-Con hallways, and I'm probably like, that's more time than I probably got to spend with him than most people got to see him when they went to line for it.
So, in fact, I think I got introduced to podcasting through Rob Paulson because I saw him do a panel at Emerald City in 2013, I think it was, or no, 2012. And who was there? It was him, Maurice LaMarche, John DiMaggio, Billy West, Tara Strong, gosh, there's more people. I can't think of.
I've literally made all those several times to the point now where it's like, I'm not gonna worry about going to see those guys.
So, and it sounds like you've gone to Rob's live shows too. How is that? Is that a big venue?
You know, it's actually a really cool thing to actually be there in person.
I've been thinking about actually going down for like they record in the middle of the week, don't they?
Yeah, it's on Tuesday.
Okay, so yeah, I've been thinking about flying down or driving down and going to a show, but I just haven't had the time or the money to do it. So, but someday. And I've been wanting to go see it live because it sounds like that venue is not a very big venue, so it's a really cool thing. So,
well, it's it's a small, you know. But the thing is, there's a lot of other voice actors there. You should really watch like some of the vlog that I did.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at more of them. I've only looked at a handful of them.
Yeah, because Marissa Marsh was at that one. Brad Garrett was there. Obviously, he was the guest. David Sobolov was there. Bob Joles was there.
Nice.
Cam Bowen was there. Pat Fraley was there. Nice. Brett Tatasciore was there. And at least two or three others. I mean, that was at least half a dozen or more.
Right.
It's like a mini Comic-Con.
That is so cool. Yeah, I definitely have to get down there for one of those. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I listened to a panel that they did about voice acting, and I was actually at one point wanting to get into it, but I'm not an actor, so I would have to learn, you know, some acting and stuff before I could even get as far as what you've done, and that's, you know, you've done quite a bit, and so I decided I'd try my hat at podcasting, and I've been doing this is the second year, or, you know, give or take a few months, that I've been doing this podcast, and me and my co-host Joe, I think a couple months back, we went to a Q&A with Kevin Smith, and I asked if he would, you know, if he would have a, you know, would be able to be on the podcast. He said if we get to episode 200, that he would be on the podcast. So hopefully he'll hold up to that. So, but you know, we'll see, I guess. But you know. So as far as Transformers, are you like a Generation 1 guy, or do you like all of them all across the board?
I like the franchise as a whole, but I'm a bigger fan of the original stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with. So.
Right, yeah, same here. I'm assuming you have seen all the Bay movies, right?
Yes, unfortunately. I review movies on my own channel, so I've seen them all.
Yes,
against my will, but I have to. I see crappy movies, so you guys don't have to.
Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, man, speaking of crappy movies, I found a movie on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend watching it at least once, just for the comic value of it. Zombievers.
Oh, yes, I heard of the Zombievers.
Yes.
I saw that.
Fred Tatasciore does the voice of the beavers, which is really fun.
Oh, nice. I can't just start it across the room.
Is John? Let me tell you, the beavers themselves are. I'm not even kidding. They're radio controlled cars with beaver bodies.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I have some recommendations for you as well. There's a FDR American Bad AWS. I have kids in the room, so I have to be careful what I say. And zombies at the Nazis at the center of the earth.
Oh, okay.
Those are both hilariously. Awesome.
I wasn't expecting this movie to be any good. I was actually expecting it to be as bad as like the sci-fi flicks, like, you know, Sharknado and whatnot. It was. I mean, it's up there, but it
sounds a lot like one I just recently watched. I forget what it's called though. Yeah, it's basically this: the guy has a monster living in his butt. I have to look up that one. It's a dark comedy, but it's funny.
Yeah, go ahead and send it to me in a message or something when you find it. That sounds awesome. But yeah, my co-host is like, we should watch that. I was like, okay. And we actually recorded commentary on it, and we were just laughing through the whole thing. And I was like, wait. And I'm looking on IMDb. He's like, holy crap, that's Fred Tatasciore doing the zombie beavers. And he goes, who's Fred Tatasciore? I was like, he's the Hulk. He's like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah. This is good. He's a great voice actor, and he's doing these beavers. And oh man,
we're not picky. We get what work we can get.
Oh no,
they're paying money.
I'm not saying anything bad about it. I thought it was awesome. You know, I was like, you know, he can do anything. Is that's the way I looked at it. It was like, he can voice anything. This guy, can you do a zombie beaver? I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. You know,
exactly.
Well, it's like, I think I saw an interview with I think it was on Rob Paulsen's podcast. He was talking to D. Bradley Baker, and they said, yeah, can you do this? And he was like, yeah, no problem. Yes, they had like a.
D is super super good. He can make crickets. Crickets. He can do. He created his own fake languages for like box trolls. Him and Steve Bloom. So yeah, he's incredibly good at animal sounds.
I haven't seen sounds. That yet. I want to though, because I know that
it's cute. It's good. I mean, it's. I'm a big fan of claymation, and it's one of those movies you can watch with your family, and that's pretty awesome.
Right on. So yeah, and have you seen the new Transformers show?
Yep.
And what do you think?
Like I said, I reviewed everything current, and I guess you'll just have to go to my channel and watch my review, bro.
I'll have to check it out, man. I've only seen a handful of episodes, and I'm still.
I reviewed that one when I reviewed Avengers 2, so
okay. I'll have to go back and look for that one. I started watching as like I was. The storyline seems pretty cool. The animation I'm having to get used to. So
actually, that's one of the things I like is the Tron Revolution animation style.
I never saw Tron Revolution. I should look.
Oh, that's a great show.
But yeah. So what's next on your plate, John? What do you got coming up that you can talk about?
Well, XCOM 2 was just dropped. The trailer for it. I'll be multiple voices in that. And then there's another big game, sequel to a large franchise. Excuse me. Sequel to a big franchise that I'm going to be in that I can't talk about yet, but it'll be announced at E3.
Nice.
And yeah, you'll be hearing me on, you know, regular movie trailers and stuff a lot, and commercials and things. I tend to book a bit.
So when you are. Because I've seen you do multiple movie voices. Is it something that you was like, I want to try mimicking that guy, or was it just like, did someone put you up to it?
For what now? For the trailers?
Yeah, the movie trailers. Because you seem like you do various movie voice trailer voices.
Yeah, well, my first manager found me on YouTube and is like, I think you got something there. You've got a lot of raw talent. And yeah, so he's like. Started working with me, started booking me trailers, and I've done over 150 of them now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, you're in actual trailers started for movies, too. That's awesome.
Yeah. Over 150 and counting. I just recorded for a new one today for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 Blu-ray. You probably heard me on the Wedding Ringer Blu-ray campaign that came out recently. It's pretty awesome.
Cool.
And Equalizer, yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff.
Very cool.
Oh, and the Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Those are new ones that just came out. And a bunch of community stuff on Yahoo Screen.
So, and like, I'm sure like you, I have a copy of I Know That Voice. And I watch it kind of frequently because it's
yeah, I've got it on iTunes, so I can watch it on my phone anytime I feel like it.
Yeah, I have it on iTunes as well as the Play Store for Android and. Because you never know when I want to watch it, right? So,
yeah.
But I was watching that, and John DiMaggio was saying how when you guys do, you know, voices or for games, you're not just doing one set of lines; you're doing multiples. So, how long? I mean, is it the recording session the same for a video game as it is for like anything else, or is it as far as the length of time that you're working there, or do you
take
longer for games?
Obviously, they're longer because there's 400 plus lines for games. So,
oh wow, okay,
yeah. So it's generally automatic 4 hours, and it's usually at least three character voices. This last one I did was literally just one, which is really kind of a surprise, and it kind of felt like we were. Taking way longer than we needed to because I was blowing through it really fast and we kept taking 15-minute breaks and I'm like, why are we taking 15-minute breaks? I can keep going. So yeah, I think we took about 6 15-minute breaks, so there's, you know, an hour and a half of breaks right there.
Wow, yeah.
So I think maybe those guys were getting paid hourly, maybe, I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, either way, I just basically do what they ask me to do. So if that's what you want to do, it's cool with me. As long as they get the job done and I do a good job at it.
Yeah. So, you know, now when you've gone to events where you got to kind of talk and hang out with other voice actors, was it like, you know, just a contemporary kind of thing when you walk up to these people and you're, hey, how's it going? Or did you have any moment where you had to kind of, you were having a bit of a fanboy moment and you had to kind of...
No, I generally don't fanboy out because they're just like, I mean, once you have been on their side of things, you realize they're just people doing their job and they're just super grateful that people enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just trying to make a living. And the fact that people are fans of it is just kind of a bonus. We didn't expect, you know. So,
yeah.
And most of them by now, most of them are like, oh, yeah, I've, you know, I worked on this or that. I try to find something that we both have in common. Like when I met Keith David this past week.
Right.
He was like the big guest that they had for MomoCon. And I was like, I did the promo voiceover for the community show. And he's like, oh, okay, we work on the same thing, you know. So it's kind of an in.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm sure I'm still just one of the millions of people that he saw, but, you know, the difference between me and everybody else was that I'm actually in the business. I'm actually working professionally
right,
voices
yeah.
as well. I worked on the show that he worked on. We actually have one other thing coming too. We were both the voice of Spawn. I did the voice of Spawn for this really great fan film that, they kind of, wanted to make a Kickstarter out to get a new movie made. And when they approached me for it, they didn't tell me what it was for. They just said, oh, we're big fans. Can you do this and this and this? And I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. And did it for and they said, this is a nonprofit. I'm like, well, if you do it for a donation, I can make a donation to charity on your behalf and everybody would be happy, you know. And then I had a list of people tweeting me saying, hey, were you Spawn? I'm like, no, I've never worked on Spawn before. And then somebody finally sent me the link to it and I heard it and I was like, holy crap, I am Spawn. They made me sound so much better than I thought I sounded. It was really freaking amazing. So look up Spawn fan film, and you were like, oh, crap, that's like all the additional voices. Clown, me, Clown, Spawn, and all the additional voices are all me.
Nice.
And I had no idea. If I had known, I might have done it differently because I had no idea.
Yeah, I would imagine there's lots of things where they don't tell you what you're recording for until after it's been released, right?
Well, I mean, in that case, usually if it's a fan thing, they're like, oh, this is for this. They probably thought I didn't know what it was.
Okay. Yeah. Because wouldn't they tell you what it was after you got the job? I mean, that would be the thing.
They really didn't. They basically just...
Yeah, because I think I'm one of the last ones of Rob's podcast that I listened to was, I think, Rebels. I have to get caught up on his podcast. It's been a while, but in fact, I think the most recent thing I've heard of his was his live hangouts that he did for his Patreon, which I saw you on. That was cool, by the way. So they were saying how when they were, you know, they were trying out for the gig, they had no idea what they were reading for. Although I think one girl said she thought it was for Star Wars, but wasn't sure until she got offered the job. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, things like Marvel and Disney, they are super, super secretive.
Yeah.
The thing with the game that I just recorded for, I pride myself in figuring out what these things are for because I'm actually a fan of most of the stuff that I work on.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, I know what that is. I'm not going to say anything because I'm under non-disclosure agreement for everything, but when I did it, I'm like, man, I can't figure this out to save my life, you know? And I'm like looking through the lines, and then all the lines were, there's six different characters to audition for, and all the lines were exactly the same for every character. There was literally like nothing to give it away, and I'm like, man, I cannot figure this out. And then even after they told me what it was for, I'm like, oh, well, I don't know what that game is. They're like, oh, trust us, it's a really big franchise. This is a sequel. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I just guess I hadn't heard of this one. So it came out before I started paying attention to games and stuff, back when I was just had a family.
Right, right. Well, I imagine having a family, you don't really have a whole lot of time for gaming and whatnot. So when you're working, you're just doing, you know, you're working on those voices, right?
Yeah.
So, well, Hey John, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. I'm sorry that
my pleasure, man.
That Joe wasn't here, because I would imagine he would have some good questions for you too.
Well, I mean, if you want to have me back, that's fine too. I can always answer more questions later. Maybe after the new game comes out, and you're like, oh man.
Yeah, dude, definitely would love to have you back on. And you know, at this point, this isn't going to be part of a regular episode. If nothing else, this will probably end up going up on our YouTube page, which is usually where we put like all our extra stuff that we have.
Oh, okay, cool. So,
and I actually might even throw it up on our SoundCloud as well, but it won't be like part of the iTunes feed. But yeah, you know, 206geek.com. You know, if you haven't been there, check it out. That's our website, and our hosting is through SoundCloud. So all the new episodes are posted there.
Cool, man.
And hey,
thanks
you have
for
a great night. Yeah, no problem. It's like I said, I think you have an amazing talent. I think I would say you're probably on par with like D. Bradley Baker and Frank Welker as far as the
I don't think I'm near that level.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate your compliment.
You're still pretty new at this compared to those.
Well,
guys,
yeah,
right?
Compared to Frank, who's been doing this like 60 years.
Yeah, yeah. and I'm always like in awe of the stuff he does, because I haven't read through everything he's ever done, but every time I hear him do something new, it's like, oh wow, that's him too. So,
yeah, I do get that reaction a lot, because a lot of people think I'm kind of stereotypically set to be, you know, the announcer guy or the narrator guy. And then when I do other stuff, they're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
They just got to have that awe face. Everybody I meet is that way. When I met Steve Downs, the master voice of Master Chief, I met him last week. And he's like, man, you are amazing. I'm like, man, dude, coming from you, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah. So, I mean, you obviously do an amazing Peter Cullen impression. Who else do you do impressions of that people are like, oh, my God, that's awesome?
I do literally fill in for tons of actors. They send me a new actor every day that I have to sound like. Today I had to try to do Brad Pitt, which is, I didn't think I did very well, but that was my first time trying that one.
Oh, wow.
But I fill in for actors in trailers like all the time. They replace dialogue and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, for Jeff Bridges, ever since True Grit, he's basically done the same character for the last four movies. True Grit, then you got RIPD, then you got Seventh Son, then you got The Giver, and yeah, it's basically the same character. So, see that trailer for RIPD? That's me, and they're going, never seen that before. I'm not sure what kind of scene you've been doing.
That's awesome.
I did Kevin James' voice in Mall Cop 2. It was like, they've taken down the hotel! At the end of Pixels, I was the creator of Pac-Man going, somebody killed a stupid thing!
That was you? Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was me. I get around. In fact, there's a lot of voices I do that I didn't even know who the actor was until I actually saw the trailer and heard myself in it.
I remember seeing that commercial going, is that the real guy from the created Pac-Man?
I did. I was in Red Dawn for Chris Hemsworth.
I saw that too.
No, and Huntsman as well. I've done a couple things for Chris Evans.
Nice.
I've done Chris Evans' voice for something. I did Sam Jackson's voice for something. I did John Cusack's voice for something. I did Harrison Ford's voice in the Ender's Game, which was really weird because apparently he came in. They had me read, and then they had him come in and replace himself. And I'm like, well, you can't be mad about that. But then they had me come back and read it again. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, well, Harrison Ford came in super stoned and drunk. And literally just came in and read the lines and left. He didn't actually try to act like he did in the film. And they told me, their exact words were, you did a better job of acting like Harrison Ford than Harrison Ford did, like acting like Harrison Ford. So apparently he just came in and just read instead of acting. And yeah, they're like, yeah, you did a better job, so we use you instead.
Wow.
So that was a big compliment. Because, I mean, the way he read it is he read it like a phone book. He's like, we need you, Ender. You know, instead, but in the movie, he's like, we need you, Ender. He's like really into it. They couldn't get him to match what he had originally done because he just wanted his paycheck to go home.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, whatever they can, whatever they send me my way, I'd hear it and listen to it, and I, you know, do it back for him. If I book the job, I book the job.
That's...
I just got booked for John Leguizamo, which is one that I'm honestly not used to. I don't think I sound like him at all, but apparently I booked it for, I forget what movie it was. Maybe I'm not supposed to say yet, so maybe it's a good thing I can't remember.
That's funny.
And then yesterday morning, well, it might have been this morning or yesterday morning, I can't remember, but I did. I filled in for Brad Garrett for some new cartoon movie.
All right, on.
So, yeah, so I had something to the effect of, "I knew we couldn't kill him. Pay up." You know, so some like simple little line.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I even did Robert Downey Jr.'s voice for the Comic Con Iron Man 3 trailer.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, I mean, I'm impressed by that. The fact that you can sound like pretty much anyone. I mean,
there's a couple other guys that personally I believe are better than I am, but I guess there's a big difference between sounding like the characters that they play in the film and then the way they normally talk in real life. And maybe they're just better at talking like their normal voices.
Right.
But, you know, their voices change a little bit when they're portraying a character.
Right.
You know, because Chris Hemsworth doesn't talk like he does in real life, like he does in Thor.
Right, yeah. No, because he's like from New Zealand, isn't he?
I thought he was from...
Australia.
I think Chris Hemsworth's Australian British.
Oh, okay.
At least he sounds like he is.
Yeah, because I know in the Avengers movies, he has kind of that, you know.
Maybe he is, but they always end up telling me to go British with it, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a voice monkey. I just do what I'm told.
Voice monkey.
But, one cool job that I did get to do, I didn't get paid for it, but they needed somebody to fill in for Peter Cullen for Transformers 4 for the trailer. And I knew they were going to have him come back and re-record it, but. Yeah, that was freaking just it was an honor just to fill in for him, just to be his like place card holder. So I was like basically the line. I think they changed the lines a little bit to the version that made it out, but
right.
That was something to the effect of what was it? Humans are haunting us. Basically it was like it was so cool, and I was like, oh man, getting to fill in for him is freaking a huge, huge honor.
Hey, could I ask you something? Could you do Optimus Prime saying "Listen to 206 Geek"? That would be awesome for me.
Listen to what?
Listen to 206 Geek.
Listen to 206 Geek.
Oh, dude, that is so awesome! Thank you.
I know. You are welcome.
Yeah, it's again. That's the thing is. Back in the days of watching those, after school and stuff, I always thought it'd be awesome to do that thing. So,
he was my original inspiration when I heard him. I heard him first on Voltron.
Yes,
that opening scene, Voltron, Defender of the Universe, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And
I remember as a kid seeing Voltron and going, that's Optimus Prime. Before I knew it was who Peter Cullen was. If it hadn't been for IMDb, honestly, I probably would have never got to know anyone's names because the credits go by so fast on those cartoons. And they don't tell you who they're for. They just says, this is the list.
Yeah, back then they just put a list of these are all the people who did voices. Figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother actually was compiling a list of voice actors back in 2007 and 8 and 6 and, you know. Actually, I think he might go further back then because he was doing it before I moved out. So it had to have been.
Wow.
Pre-2000, because I got married in 2000. So, yeah, back in the late 90s, he was compiling a list of voice actors. Because for a long time, we had gotten confused and thought Jack Angel was the voice of Optimus Prime. Because we saw his name in Dark Forces, the first CD-ROM Dark Forces, like first-person shooter game.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, man, and it sounded a lot like Peter Cullen did. And then we heard him later on and figured out what it was. And I was like, oh, cool. Now we finally know what the guy's name is.
The only thing I could tell you that I knew back in those days is I did know that Ironhide and Prime were essentially the same guy.
Yeah, I could tell they were the same character.
Yeah.
And I could tell that Eeyore was the same as the voice as Optimus Prime as well.
Yeah.
The only actor that I really knew who it was Casey Kasem.
Right.
Because he was actually a famous person, cartoon voices.
Casey Kasem and Scatman Crothers were really the only two that
Scatman Crothers was very obvious as well.
Yeah. So, but And
Paul Winchell from Winnie the Pooh.
Right, right.
That's only because I had seen him in Disney movies before, so.
Yeah. It wasn't until recently that I actually saw photos of some of these you know, legends like Paul Winchell and Daz Butler. I had no idea what any of these guys looked like because you never saw them on camera, or at least I never did. And so And I actually went looking for it not long ago, and I was like, okay, have I seen him in anything? And you know, Frank Welker did a bunch of Disney movies back in the '60s with Kurt Russell.
Yep, and he's also just like random voices throughout cinematic history. He just like shows up in the strangest places.
And
there's this movie called House. That's a cult classic where the guy goes to this haunted house. And like he ends up chopping up his girlfriend because he turns into a monster, and then then she turns back and he realizes he just murdered somebody. The house is like messing with his head, and like he's a Vietnam vet, but he goes to this house because he's a writer and he wants to write, you know. So, but I remember the creature voices in that, and I was like, holy crap! Like when I was a kid, I didn't notice, but now I go back and watch it, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Frank Welker. And another one that you probably did not know is that Peter Cullen is also the voice of the Predator in the Predator movies.
Really? I did not know that.
And he and Frank Welker both are gremlins in the Gremlins movies.
I didn't know that either. I knew that. I did know that.
Harry Mandel was Gizmo. Most people know that one.
But then Michael Winslow was Stripe.
Yeah. No, it's Frank Welker was Stripe.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Maybe it was. No, it was the second one that he was the bad guy, the lead gremlin in, I think.
That's possibly like the Stripe dies in the first one.
Right. I think it was the second one, because he actually does the voice on one of his videos.
Yeah.
In an interview. Gosh, I can't remember the name of the video now, but basically there's a video where at the beginning of it, he's doing an interview at Universal Studios, and he shows how he does the sound effect for the I guess you would call it a hovercraft on T2 for the ride at Universal. And he grabs a mic and does the sound effect with the mic in front of him. So, and then he does the Gizmo Kaka, you know.
Yep.
But
the spike is pretty obvious. Gizmo Kaka. It's just obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Frank.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like there are voices that I thought was Frank, but was end up being somebody else, like Stitch.
Yeah, it's because he does so many. Yeah, he does so many voices. It's easy to assume.
Well, and it sounds like other characters he actually did do. So, and did you ever know Doreen Mullman?
Yeah, Doreen, I know her.
Yeah. I became friends with her online because she does Frank's website, and I'm a huge Frank fan. So I got to know her until she passed, but she actually told me a bunch of cool things about Frank, which I thought was cool.
I'm Frank Welker with my agency, so right, I get to talk to his agent if anything I want to know, you know.
That's awesome. But it's like
just to show you how cool some of these guys are, because I mean, the agency I'm with, they represent some of the coolest guys. I mean, Will Friedle, who's the voice of Batman Beyond, and
right,
going to be Star-Lord in the new Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. You know, so all these great guys. And Maurice LaMarche, actually, my agent introduced us to each other, and she knew she represents him and all this cool stuff. And anyway, so she introduced us, and he's like, oh, cool, you know, we're the same age, blah, blah, blah. And later on, he, like, sends me a message personally, like, holy crap, you're the voice of Honest Trailers? I had no idea that. I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm like, what? It's the other way around. He's like, if there's ever anything I can do. And I was like, well, actually, my kids are huge fans of Rescue Bots, and they love Transformers, and they love Rescue Bots. Would you ever be willing to record a little line from S.G. Burns for them? And I explained that one of my kids was autistic, and he's probably the biggest fan of the show. So it, like, months went by, I didn't hear anything back. And I assume, you know, because if he's even a fraction as busy as me, then he's way, way busier, you know, because I just assume that the guys like this, they're working on multiple series, and they're always going to conventions. So I was trying to be patient about it. He's like, no, I don't mind you, asking me about it. Just, you know, I don't want to harass you or whatever. So anyway, months and months and months, and I finally heard back from him because I bumped into him at WonderCon, which I didn't know he was going to be there. Right. He's like, oh, I finally got that thing for you. And I'm like, He's like, oh, I know. I totally understand. You're busy, whatever. He's like, okay, well, it's going to be in 3 emails, and I got the entire cast. So I was like, well, no wonder it took him so long. He got the entire cast, minus LeVar Burton, but almost the entire cast of Rescue Bus to record like this 3-minute-long thing for my kids. And I was like, wow, that was like above and beyond what I was expecting. One little line is, hey, kids, this is Chief Friends. Stay in school. Or, you know, basically they did this whole episode's worth, which is so awesome.
That is wicked cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really was.
Yeah. Marcel Marsh, I mean, he was at that panel that I saw at Emerald City Comic Con. All those guys seemed really cool in person, and I wanted to just hang out and talk with them. But,
yeah. You know, well, I mean, if you want to hang out and talk with them, just, you know, find a watering hole somewhere. They usually like to hang out at, you know, a place where there's food or drink. And, I mean, they're so down to earth, and they're so grateful to fans that, like I said earlier, they love the fact that people love what we're just doing, trying to make a living, you know?
Right. Yeah. And, well, the thing is, you know, of course, you know, Maurice LaMarche, you know that he was Egon on The Real Ghostbusters. And for years, I thought that was, you know, I didn't realize that was Maurice LaMarche. I thought it was the actual actor from the movies. It was that good. And,
when I heard the Lexus commercials, I thought it was John Cusack.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing is, well, that was one of the questions that somebody had at the panel that I was at. Is, do you guys do any voices that we would recognize but wouldn't necessarily know was you? Because there's no...
Well, I have lots of those.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping to book more. I want to be able to book more like popular things, like main characters in animated shows or games, so I can have something that I'm specifically known for. You know what
right.
I mean?
Not you'll just be on some, IMDb.
I was in some game. Well, which character were you? Well, I was the background character, you know.
Right.
I don't want to be just known because I work for something somebody else made, because Honest Trailers aren't mine. I'm right. literally just the voice. I'm not the main, you know, I don't write it. I help with a little improv here and there, or maybe a little suggestion for script revisions or whatever, but I don't write for them, and I certainly didn't come up with it. I didn't create it. I don't edit it.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not mine. It's like, oh, I'm popular for this thing that I only do the voice for and I have nothing else to do with.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I hate, you know.
But, you know, if I book a network animated series and I'm a main character.
You'll do it, man. With how talented you are, I have no doubt in my mind that at some point someone's going to go, we should hire this dude for this character.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I go to conventions. Is because it's like some of the times it's the only time I get to meet some of the other actors. And so it's like, I wanted to get to the point where they're like, man, we have an audition for this John Bailey guy. And they're like, oh, and two or three of the people in the room would be like, oh, John Bailey, no, he's a really cool down to earth guy. He's super talented, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the reaction I get from all of them when I meet them. It's like, oh man, you're so really, really good, man. I can't believe we haven't worked together, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's fingers crossed. I mean, I'm still early in my career. Most of my friends that are in this business, took them 10 years to break into the animation department. So at least I'm booking some video games.
Yeah.
I mean, XCOM, Enemy Within, Enemy Unknown, Yurta Classified, now XCOM 2. And, you know, and then this other game that's coming out, hopefully that'll be a big deal. It'll be awesome. You know, just got to keep on working on it.
I have no doubt that you will definitely be amongst the you know, the big names at some point, you know.
Well, I appreciate the confidence. Yeah. And I mean, if any of your listeners play Steam games, there's at least a dozen games I've done for Steam. So.
I'm on Steam. I play a handful of games on Steam. My computer can barely handle it, but I play some. But
well, some of these are like really, really simple retro, like 16-bit games or whatever. So.
Right. Yeah. I just recently discovered a cool racing game, and it has elements of every racing game you've ever played, like, you know, Need for Speed and just whatever else. But it's a fun little game, and what is the name of that game? Hold on a second here. I don't have Steam open. I'll send it to you in a message. It was like $3 to buy. It was the graphics aren't like amazing or anything, but I'm not one for like the game has to have amazing graphics. You know, I'm more about gameplay than anything else. You know, I'm of the generation where Pac-Man was, you know, like 5 or 6 pixels. So, you know, or Pong for that matter. I remember playing that. On the TV in the basement as a kid, so you know, If it has cool graphics and great gameplay, awesome. I'm more impressed.
Yeah, I'm really more about quality over quantity kind of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, I can totally understand that. That's cool. With the Steam games, they don't list like the people who work in the games on the thing, do they? I have to look online.
Yeah, I honestly, there's so many games that I've worked for. I don't even know the names for all of them. I play the main character in a video game called Meridian New World. It's a chapter-based game.
Okay.
It's very very StarCraft 2. And there's another one called Critical Point Incursion where I play some mercenaries, and the main announcer guy that says, headshot, double kill, quad nice. Damage. You know, that kind of game. I just recorded for a brand new Steam game called Demons with Shotguns. That ought to be interesting. And there's a really crappy game about a pig farting that launches himself through space with his farts. That I do a ton of different weird voices for, so that's a mobile game. That's so not... I can't keep track of all
right,
of these things.
Yeah, I actually have the clip from I think it was Unreal Tournament where it says headshot. I have that as a sound on my phone, and for a while there I had it as my incoming SMS message, and I changed it after I got a text message during a meeting at work. I was a headshot right in the middle of
it. Yeah, Critical Point Incursion is very, very similar to that kind of game. Yeah. So. One of these days, I'm going to look all these things up so I can put together like a cool little intro video for the work that I've done and start building a visual resume, as it were, so I can have one of those character sheets. You know what I mean? Like those banners you have at conventions to let people know who you are.
Right, yeah, like, you know, because...
that way it looks like I've actually done some stuff.
Well, yeah, I think Rob Paulson has it on his podcast.
Oh, well, yeah, he's Rob Paulson, though. He's got, honestly, he has too many to pick from. he has to have his characters audition against each other to see who makes it on the banner.
Yeah, and I think there's not a banner big enough for Frank Welker.
No, there's not. There's not really one for Rob either. It would take up the entire length of Comic-Con.
Yeah, it was weird because when I got to meet Michael Bell in person, I was talking to him. I was like, I heard all these different characters when he was talking, and because that was like his normal voice for a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he's that one too. Oh my god, that one and that one. Oh shit! And then going in my head, I was like, he was a handful of Smurfs, I think. He was, of course, Duke. On G.I. Yeah. Joe, and he was Prowl, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Well, the big one is like I knew right off the bat it was Duke and Prowl, and but then I heard the voices like, okay, I recognize that voice from that character too, and when people were asking,
also from the Wonder Twins,
that's right, and Gleek too, yeah,
yep,
yeah, yeah. I recently found
it gets around.
I recently found
he's also the
Friends.
Dog in Rugrats, believe it or not, and yep.
Wow, he's the dads on Rugrats too, if I remember.
Yeah, he's one of the dads, and he's also the dog. Most people know about the dad, but they don't know about the dog.
That's and one of the things he and Joe thought this was hilarious, but I guess he was talking about how he was working on a recording with Frank Welker in the studio, and they were supposed to like record drowning. Help! I'm drowning. And he goes.
Right.
And he goes, all right. He takes a swig of water and goes, blah, 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 you know, actually sounds yep. like he's just gargling. And then, can you do it again? You know, in more enunciation and clear. And he does it again. And then he goes, all right, well, Frank, how about you do it? And just Frank does the, where you just move your finger up and down on your lips and blah, 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 like that. And go, help, I'm yep. drowning. And he goes, Frank, why didn't you say something? I was like, I was enjoying watching you try doing that. So,
it's typical.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've said you've not been in any of recording sessions where you're all in the same room, so there's not been, you haven't had any interaction with them in between takes, huh?
Yeah.
Oh man, I was hoping to hear stories about in between takes.
He loves to mess with them as well because he'll make like studio sounds and people will think there's mic problems or somebody sometimes the actors will mess around a little bit and because the producer's like talking or whatever and he's taking his button off the receiver where they can hear him the other side.
Right.
And he'll make there's a little swoosh sound that the door makes because of the air pressure in the room because they have those double doors.
Right.
And he can imitate the swooshing sound and instantly all the actors would go back to like, oh, you know, just to mess with him, so they think somebody's walking through the room, and it was just him messing with the microphone.
Oh, that is too cool. Yeah. I know I've seen, I watched the interview with Fred Tedeschor on Rob's podcast, and he talks about how he messes with them by imitating the sound of the microphone cutting out. You know, and like, you know, when he's talking, and all of a sudden words cut out, you know, that kind of thing. And it sounded like the mic was cutting out, and you wouldn't know unless he told you this is what he was doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
He also has this thing he can do with his shoes that makes it sound like there's something creaking around the room. he's amazing.
Hey, I would imagine there's all kinds of, you know, pranks and stuff that happen when you're working on a
Peter job. Used to talks about all the time how Frank's main goal was to get wait just the perfect time and get Peter to spit water out of his nose. He would catch it right in the middle of a sip and do something funny that would make Peter, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm really good. I mean, honestly, that's one thing me and Frank have in common, because when I hang out with friends, I almost every time I can get somebody somewhere in the middle of the conversation, somebody will spit liquid out of their nose when they're hanging out with me. So that's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's a skill. I should put that in my resume or what.
I would. It was like Maurice LaMarche does that really cool vocal effect where it sounds like an epic belch. He did that live at the show.
And that's how I learned how to do the fake belches from watching him doing it for Wacko Warner.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that was him until he did it live at the at Emerald City Comic Con. I was like, oh god!
When I first heard Wacko's belching, opera thing, I was like, that does not sound like Jess Harnell at all. And it took me a couple of seconds to figure out that it was Maurice LaMarche. But then I was like, oh, that's Maurice LaMarche for the end word.
You figured that out? Wow. I had no idea.
I got a really – that's one of my skill sets, is I have a very good ear. And that's, I think that's what helps me to actually book things a little easier than some people, because I can hear the subtle differences that help me to catch whatever voice that is and do it.
You know, when someone's doing an actual line or something, I can pick that out. But, you know, a vocal effect like a fake belch, I would have never been able to pick that.
Yeah, the belch, I can pick out when Dee Bradley Baker or Frank Weller is doing a character, I can tell which one of those two guys it is, or Steve Bloom.
Wow.
Very rarely is somebody so good that it trips, like with the Lexus commercial. He did such a good job, I could have sworn it was John Cusack.
Wow.
but the thing was, there was another car commercial, different brand, but there was a car commercial that did have John Cusack on it, so it was easy to confuse those two guys.
Well, yeah, it was somebody else who did the Super Bowl commercial this year for Lexus. It wasn't Maurice.
Yeah.
And I said that doesn't sound like Maurice.
Yeah. It's a skill that my wife hates, because she says it's annoying. Like, the commercial popped up, and I'm like, oh, that's Robert Downey Jr. She's like, would you stop? I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I pride myself in being able to figure it out.
Yeah,
to figure out.
I've done the same thing where it's like, oh, that's so-and-so, and someone's like, how do you know? It's like, I've watched enough shows with that person in it that I can pick out their voices. Like back when the Hub was still the Hub, Jess Harnell did a lot of voiceovers for, you know, in between shows.
Like, Jess does, Rob does. Rob works in this show called Funniest Animals or Funniest Pets, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jess is working on America's Funniest Home Videos now.
Yeah. Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, those guys get around. I bet you didn't know that Josh Keaton from Spectacular Spider-Man and Transformers Prime does a lot of the promo work for Back on the Hub was still on. And I was like, man, that voice is really, really familiar. And I'm like, oh, that's Josh Keaton. Because
yeah.
I could have sworn that it was Steve Bloom a couple of times. He's like, no, that's Josh. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, no, yeah, I was trying to think of what else. Because you know who these people are. I'm sure you're aware of Rock Sugar, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. They actually came to play in my hometown for the Memphis Blues Music Festival.
Yeah, they have yet to come to Seattle. I actually asked, because I'm friends on Facebook with Chuck Duran, and I sent him a message saying, look, what would it take to get you guys to come out to Seattle?
It's 15 grand, because I've already asked.
He goes, man, he was cool about it. He goes, if you have to ask him, he wouldn't be able to afford it. It's like, I understand, but I was just curious, because if nothing else, if I have to do crowdfunding, I will.
Yeah, because I was in the process of talking to them about playing for Anime BlizzCon, our local Memphis anime convention thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was 15 grand, which was bigger than their budget for all their guests combined. So, yeah, I passed.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, if nothing else, I hopefully they're able to get their second album released at some point. I know that, because when Jess was at Emerald City, I asked him about that. I was like, they're still working on, dealing with, lawyers and whatnot, because I guess one of the songs, he sounds too much like the original artist, and they were kind of butthurt over it, so I was like, oh, well, I guess that could happen. I mean, Jess is an amazing voice actor. He can sound like all kinds of people, and
yep.
I'm not surprised that he can vocally sound like somebody else while he's singing. And I was actually telling someone this, they introduced me to the band, and they said, yeah, these guys are awesome. And they tell me the band members, and go, Jess Harnell, does he have like gigantic, you know, curly hair? And he goes, yeah. Does he always wear a cowboy hat? Yeah. He's like, that's a voice actor.
Yep.
He's that's Ironhide from the Michael Bay movies for Transformers. And he goes, no way. I was like, look it up. It's on IMDb. But, you know, so being that you work in voice acting and you're obviously a fan, does your wife ever just say, like you said, she tells you to knock it off with naming off?
Yeah, she gets to the point. She gets to the point where she's like, can't you just practice in your head? I'm like, well, anybody can do that. Everybody can be a voice actor, you know. But what I said earlier about having a good ear, people are finally starting to know what to listen for, and now they'll hear me on something like, oh man, I'm so glad you're finally getting into real work. Like, gee, thanks.
I've been doing this
for 6 years. I'll look into it, you know.
that's like when people say, oh, you're a voice actor, so when are you gonna become a real actor?
Yeah, I've had that before.
Oh man, that's gotta be frustrating, man, because I could, you know, voice acting I would imagine is way harder than normal acting, because you have to convey the same amount of emotions without any facial expressions, you know, or any body language of any kind. So, and that's kind of where I'm at as far as I wanted to do that kind of thing, but how, you know, I wouldn't have any idea how to convey that in a voice, you know. So
yeah.
So again, man, I appreciate you talking with me.
Pleasure, man.
We've been talking for almost an hour, and
I can tell because I'm really tired.
I'm sorry for keeping you up.
It's fine. I promise.
I enjoyed
it. You're like the for some reason it's like interview week, because this is like the third interview, and I'm getting confused about who is who and who's asking for it. So, like, I had one earlier today, and they were like sending me stuff about Skype, and I'm like, I thought that one was yours. So I was like, oh man, which I forget which one I'm supposed to do. Well, and then I found it, it's like, no, it's for Thursday. And I'm like, oh man, geez, I can't get these guys picked anymore.
Yeah, well, and I think
literally five interviews this week, not to count the four that I had at the convention last weekend.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a lot more interviews than I'm used to. Yeah. I need a secretary. I mean, I'll do the voice for her, obviously, but you know.
That's awesome, yeah. So now, how would your secretary sound then, John?
I'm pretty sure she'd be from the West Coast. She'd probably do one of those ones. So,
yeah. All right. Again, thanks for talking with me. And like I said, I'll probably end up either putting this on YouTube or I'll probably put it up on both, honestly. But go ahead and if you haven't already liked us on Facebook, go ahead and like us, 206 Geek. And of course, you know, I think you followed back on Twitter, but you know, if you haven't, go ahead. But
I might. I don't know. It depends on how cool you are.
Hey, I think I'm pretty cool. I mean, you know, I'm a huge Transformers fan. You know, generational one all the way. You know.
Yeah.
All right, John. You have a good night. Get some sleep, and we'll chat another time.
Cool deal.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Later. God, I hope that all right. There we go. Oh, wait.